Let's talk.
Hello, WGN listening audience.
Live from the biggest small town in America, it's the Saturday Night Special with Amy Goode.
WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth, and tonight's program on the Saturday Night Special is all about film, specifically independent film, and what a fascinating moment that it's really having. And what better place to talk about independent film than from right here in Chicago? After all, in the early 1900s, it was Chicago who had the highest number of film production companies and filmmakers. Not Hollywood, Chicago. But here's what happened next. Given high demand of silent pictures at the time, a black market for both film and equipment quickly formed. And in retaliation of major studios, independent film companies and filmmakers went west in search of warmer weather and to outrun the reach of the big studios. Of course, we all know now Los Angeles is the center of the film industry. But with film equipment and distribution becoming increasingly accessible thanks to emerging camera technology, other technology, and to platforms like YouTube and Vimeo, it's all shifting again to put more power than ever in the hands of independent filmmakers yet again. Chicago, of course, is all over this. While for years, plenty of big budget projects filmed here for both film and television, plenty of independent filmmakers also cut their teeth here in the Windy City. And once they did, they moved west to that Southern California epicenter. Then, for a while in the 1980s, big studios leaned heavily on Chicago once again with locally set films that put Illinois in the lead for money spent on film production, including Ferris Bueller, the Blues Brothers, John Hughes and his Brat Pack, and others like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and The Untouchables. In that moment, Hollywood needed Chicago. But now, suddenly, we're seeing plenty of filmmakers and producers doing just fine with no plan to move west at all. Resources like film festivals, film business incubators, and even the big shows filmed here, well, they all hint that Chicago is on the rise in the film world in new ways once again. So tonight, we're taking a look at the state of independent film in Chicago and beyond. Not the set of Transformers that set off pyrotechnics all over Michigan Avenue a few years ago, though that was pretty cool to watch. But the independent filmmakers committed to original storytelling and making great films and to investing in the scrappy and supportive community of Chicago independent film with sheer effort. I'm Amy Guth, and that's all coming up tonight on the Saturday Night Special. We're also going to be joined by a special guest co-host tonight, founder and principal at Potenza Productions, and Emmy Award-winning director Rocco Cataldo is here and lending us his expertise in the film industry so we can all learn from him about the topic of independent filmmaking. With that said, let's get into it. We'll be right back to get the conversation underway on 720 WGN. Army couldn't hold me back. Time right behind my back. 720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth, and this is the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us this evening. Always grateful to you for sharing part of your Saturday evening with me and tuning in. So as ever, we take one big topic and we spend the whole night talking about it. And tonight that topic is independent film. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot to that, especially when we think of the role that the digital disruption has played in film and how it's made it suddenly a lot more accessible. But with that also comes a lot more content. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of people making films, but how does the good stuff rise to the top? We don't know. We're going to find that out tonight. We have a co-host tonight, special guest, Rocco Cataldo is here. He's founder and principal at Potenza Productions and is an Emmy Award-winning director. He'll be lending his expertise tonight. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Amy, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
So when we talk about independent filmmaking, I think for a long time we thought of independent films as just kind of being like art house stuff and things that were obscure. And it seems like the lines, even the last time we talked about this topic on the show, it seems like even then, in that short amount of time, the lines have blurred even more, with television looking a lot more cinematic, with so much more content, with it being still relatively easy to, you know, go from zero to 60 and make a film equipment wise. So kind of what is the state of things, generally speaking, from your perspective?
the state of independent filmmaking. There's just a lot. There's a lot. Content is king, and there's a lot of distribution out there. We have, you know, between Vimeo, YouTube, even things like Instagram, all the social media outlets. So filmmakers, I think, in today's age, really have an opportunity to brand themselves as storytellers. So it's not as much filmmaking as much as it is telling stories. And I think with the modern day social media and technology, I think people have an opportunity to really brand themselves and become storytellers. So it's not just about one thing anymore. It's about several ways that you can get your story out there so people can embrace you, because
It's interesting that you say that, though, because I think I'm often drawing parallels to other creative industries. I mean, for my own work, I have a foot in a couple of different. I have it in filmmaking, and I have it in here in broadcast, and also in publishing and storytelling and all that. And what you're as you're saying that, I'm thinking of what happened when social media hit the literary community, because suddenly it wasn't just like you turn in your manuscript and you're done. It was you couldn't get a book deal unless you had this persona online, unless you embraced all the technology around you. And it seemed like there was some lag time between when that started happening and when authors really took to it and embraced it. And from your point of view, do you feel like filmmakers are in that same space? Like there's still a reluctance to embrace like being I'm going to do radio air quotes, being a quote unquote brand as opposed to just like delivering, like shipping the film and off you go.
I think they are reluctant, but at the same time, I think filmmaking, unlike being a writer with books or even a musician, when technology really hit with musicians, Spotify.
Yeah.
I think for filmmakers right now, it's difficult because it's such a fluid industry. It takes a lot not only to get money for a film or just being able to tell a story and get a group of people to be able to do that. So I think that's why I don't think that they're reluctant, because there's such a you can make such an impact by really just telling a short story, and I think the short stories are making a comeback. Before, you used to make a short in hopes of the big time, you know, hitting the film festivals, so maybe somebody might look at you, they'd be able to give you a feature film. But now I think filmmakers are embracing the short form, because that's, they might not look at it as branding, they just look at it as, hey, we have the opportunity to tell as many stories as we can, and content always reigns. Content is king.
I mean, that's interesting to think about, right? Because for a long time it was, you made a short film as a means to an end. It was a vehicle to get funding for a feature film. And it does seem anyway that you're right, that's moving a bit, and that's moving to a place of, you know, more of an appetite for shorter films. Do you think that is because of technology? Do you think that's about attention span and, you know, the 140 character soundbite? Do you think it's about that? Or is it about something even bigger in the, you know, collective mind of filmmakers?
That's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both. I think as a filmmaker and doing this for a long time, I respect the process, and the process means a lot in just being able to tell a story, getting people together to collaborate with, you know, writing the script and developing the story. But at the same time, I think we're in a unique place where all of these new technologies were able to tell a story on the drop of a dime. So we could, you know, go out here today and just shoot something on our iPhone. And I think it's just a way to keep creative. And I think that where you draw the line is how much do you respect the process to be able to get a story out there? Because essentially that's what people... that's what people embrace. People want to know you. They want to know your story. They want to have something in common. Just like when you listen to a piece of music, it's not visual, but you really get the sense of what the artist is trying to say.
And it seems like we have gotten into a moment where audiences, and I think you've kind of hinted at this, where audiences aren't really content just to, I will watch this person's work. They want to know more about the person creating it, I think, in much deeper way. I mean, we've always had an appetite, right, for like our celebrities, yeah. And we want to know all their dirt and all that stuff. And I think that's always been there. But it seems like in the age of social media, we want to know a lot more.
Yeah, because the audience, not only did the technology change, but the audience changed, because now the group of people that, back I say in the day with the radio air quotes, but, you know, back in the day, we didn't have all of this and all of this technology. So the audience changed as well. So when the audience changes, your way of doing things in order to speak to the audience or tell them a story changes. And I think that that's why you embrace the social media if you're a filmmaker and use it. Like, always respect the process, but at the end of the day, use the technology to help you tell a story. And I think when you do tell a story, especially in filmmaking, you want to appreciate the audience, because at the end of the day, they're going to, you're doing it for them as much as you're doing it for yourself. But I think to answer your question is, as much as the audience changes, you kind of want to adapt to that to be able to tell them a story. And I think that's why social media is so big, because all the audience now is just so used to digital. They're used to social media, the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter.
And like used to a certain level of access, it seems like, exactly. Too, and immediacy. So I want to shift a bit and talk about your own path, because you've navigated film work pre-social media and continue to. So tell us a bit about your work so we can all hear that story.
Well, it's been about 20 years I've been in the industry, and we started off doing a lot of music videos. And I should say, Potenza, also co-founder, my business partner, Mike Wilford, and I have been working together for about 20 years. And in that 20 years, we started off doing a lot of music videos, because there was just so much music out there. So we were hustling every day to try to get the cameras that we didn't have access to, shooting film, and then that just developed into really the short story format. And music videos were always a great way to try different things and, you know, develop your skill set a lot more, because it wasn't necessarily narrative and telling a story. It was more just visually being able to tell a story. And I think that prepped us to where we are today in the short form. And what we do with the company a lot is being able to tell a story and a narrative for people, whether it be commercial work or any of the film work that we do. And a lot of the branded work that we do, it really is about telling a story, because there's so many products out there. You have a million different products out in the world today you can pick from, but I think the audience really responds and you could really resonate with people when you tell them about the people behind the product and the people behind the brand. And I think that's what we try to do. So it's always about the story.
And then what about Emergence? And that's the film for which you won the Emmy for directing. Mm-hmm. How did that come into, that's a really unique film. It's a dance film. There's no dialogue in it. This very beautiful music and this very dreamy dance sequence. What is the thought behind that film?
The thought, Emily Sarkissian, who's the brilliant dancer in there, we've been friends for such a long time, and we always wanted to work together. We always wanted to develop something where we can merge film and just visuals with interpretive dance in what she does. And it was just, for the longest time, couldn't think of anything, how are we actually going to put our skills together, until one day just came up with just different emotions that people go through from the time that they wake up in the morning till the time that they go to sleep. And being an immigrant here, a lot of that really didn't matter where your bedroom was. It was all about trying to be as comfortable and making life what you can. And it's a scary place, but at the end of the day, no matter how scary it is, when you fall asleep and then when you wake up, it's always, you start the day over all the time. So that's where that came from. And it was all just a passion project. We picked an alley that was right by our office. And I just started shouting out some emotions to her. And she just did a dance on the fly that way. And it was a very passion project. And I wasn't expecting it to do what it did, but very proud of that film.
That dance is improvised.
Improvised. All improvised.
Wouldn't have guessed that. It looks very, very choreographed.
Yeah, give it to Emily. That was all her. So I was yelling, hey, you're sad, you're happy, you're mad. And she just did a dance to that. So a lot of respect to her. She's very talented. And we're hoping to do another one coming up here soon.
Another focused on dance?
Focused on dance. Because I think it's such a, to be able to bring out those emotions through movement without any words and just music, I think is a beautiful, beautiful art form. And just dancers I respect to death. I mean, just their body and what they do with their body, and to be able to really evoke emotions. You talk about as film evoke emotions visually, what they're able to do with their bodies and give that to an audience and let them, you know, let an audience feel their movement, I think is just is wonderful. So I think visuals and dance is a great thing. So I'm looking to do a lot more with her.
We're talking with film director Rocco Cataldo today. He's co-hosting with us tonight. Tonight's show is all about independent film. We're going to take a little break, get you to news, all that good stuff, back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Thanks for being with us. We're going to head to news here in a couple of minutes, but tonight we're talking all about independent film. We're not going to have any time for callers tonight, but if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Amy Guth, G-U-T-H. I know some of you sometimes send mail here to Amy Goose, like the bird. Nope, it's Guth, G-U-T-H, like Ruth, rhymes with truth. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, at Amy Guth, and text me your favorite independent, or not text, but tweet me your favorite independent film. I would love to know about that, because there's so many, especially cool ones in Chicago. As we're talking about this topic all tonight. And, you know, we were just talking before the break, Rocco, about kind of your path into filmmaking. And I realize I'm asking you a big question here with just about a minute and a half to answer it. But when digital and social media, when that started to come forth and it's, you know, really become this very ubiquitous thing that it is now, what was your initial way to adapt to that as a filmmaker?
As a filmmaker, I got to be quite honest with you. It was, for me, it was very easy to adapt, because I think when I first got into the industry, I mean, I started off in the second grade. As soon as I got here from Italy, I played Ichabod Crane's horse in the second grade, and I was like, just, I was astounded by everything. I loved it, and it hooked me right away. So whatever chance I got to tell a story, I did. And when we were doing those music videos, even though we were shooting on film, I just loved doing it. Anybody had music, I'd do a music video for them. So just when technology came to where it's at and we had to embrace it, I loved it, because it was just the way to be able to tell a story right away without having to wait for anything at all. But the only thing is, I think between old school and new school, where I lean a little bit more towards the old school, is that you always have to respect the process. And there is a process to filmmaking that you can't just go right away. You have to kind of like slow down and actually think about telling the story. But other than that, I loved it. It was easy for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting when people can just adapt and say, I'm still going to do the same thing. I'm still going to tell the same story, write the same words, make the same shot, whatever. But I'm just going to keep embracing new platforms as they come up. So as ever, we take a topic that seems really straightforward, like it's just going to be about films and what we should be watching, and big topics start emerging when we start pulling at the threads of it. Indeed. So it's 7:30. So we better check in with David Jennings for news. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation all about independent filmmaking. Oh. 720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth, and this is a Saturday Night Special. As ever, we take one big old topic and we spend all night unpacking it and wrestling with it and thinking about it and seeing where it leads us. And usually, as is usually the case, we tug at a thread here and look at this and look at that, and suddenly what seems like a really straightforward topic is suddenly a really big one with a lot of different paths and tentacles. And tonight's topic is no exception. We're talking about independent film tonight, and that seems really straightforward. Like, okay, it's those films that are not necessarily getting that big release. Maybe it's not that huge blockbuster. It's those other ones. Maybe it's at an art house. Mm-mm. So much more than that. And so much of that is happening right here in Chicago and in the Midwest. So much of it. There's so much cool work being done everywhere. And in part, that is because the barrier of entry is a little bit lower. It's a lot easier to make a film now than it was a long time ago. You don't have to have millions and millions and millions of dollars. You can just have a little bit, and you can still make a great film. And you can distribute your film on platforms like Vimeo and YouTube and things like that. And technology is changing every day, and it's really kind of an exciting moment. But to help us unpack this topic, we have to get an expert. So we have a guest with us tonight who is co-hosting. That is Rocco Cataldo. He is founder and principal at Potenza Productions and an Emmy Award-winning director. He's here with us tonight to make sense of all of this. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn your microphone on and everything as you say
right.
that.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Glad that you're here. So we were kind of doing a little bit of an overview before the news and just kind of some of the big issues. And of course, digital is such a big part of that conversation right now. And we're thinking about how independent filmmaking or filmmaking at all has really, you know, changed just year by year, even month by month. Sometimes there's so much coming at us technology wise. But I want to kind of rewind a little because so often when we're talking about films, we are talking about just kind of like the creative inspiration for a film. You know, we'll talk to an actor or director and just say, oh, I had this idea and this is what I made. Or we just talk about the finished film. What's this film about? What made you make it? But I wonder if you could kind of talk us through the behind the scenes part, the pre-production and the production part, specifically as it applies right now, because you do so much different work. You do a lot of different kinds of filmmaking. But nonetheless, like no matter what genre you're dealing in, you know, there's a lot of commonalities and how that process maybe has evolved over time as digital has hit the industry.
Well, I think first things first, it's always about story, because without story, you don't have anything. And I think some of the things that's a little bit different now is that now with technology and you can go right away as soon as you have a camera, even your iPhone, whatever it is, that you kind of tell stories on the fly.
Okay, so I have a sidebar for you.
Yes.
Already. And then we're going to get back to this because I want to know your answer. And that is not too long ago, there was this huge think piece. I'm going to find it. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, I'm going to tweet this out. I've tweeted it before, but I'm going to tweet it again. It was about iPhone filmmaking, and it was really fascinating. And I think on some level, it was exciting because the iPhone has changed a lot. It's changed what it means to be a witness to a crime. It's changed the role of the bystander. It's changed what it means to be a filmmaker. Just here in the broadcast industry, like you can whip out your phone and have something on the news tonight. You can whip out your phone and get audio and put it on the show later that night. So with iPhone filmmaking, as far as narrative films, as opposed to something like documenting something, sometimes it seems like the iPhone filmmaking, and I would say some have won awards, like Tangerine,
like, great film,
gorgeous film, made on an iPhone and cleaned up at Sundance. It did really well and continued to do so at other festivals. Your message is so strongly here about it doesn't matter the platform, you have to have a solid story and original storytelling and strong ideas. Do you feel like sometimes the technology overshadows the story or the quality of the content to the extent that it feels like a gimmick?
Yes, absolutely. With the exceptions of things like Tangerine, because the topic and the story fit with the technology. And I think a lot of up-and-coming filmmakers, that's the one area where I think, not that they miss on, but they don't pay attention to as much, because the story really has to fit the format. And I'm really big into music because I started off with music videos before, and the best example I can give of that is you take a musician, right? A musician right now, with the tools that he has with audio, he can, you know, he or she can write a story in their own words, make some music out of it, record it, and go. The technology doesn't hinder their creativity, because you still have to write the song, you still have to come up with the melody. But I think a lot of times the filmmakers, they let technology take over their story, if that makes sense. And I think that's why Tangerine works so well, because that technology was perfect for the gritty story that the filmmaker wanted to tell. And it blew up at award for that reason, because it really was a story that fit the technology. And I think a lot of filmmakers now, and I'm guilty of that too at times, because as a filmmaker, it's so difficult to get money for something. You want to go all the time. So I get it. But I think just as a community, we need to realize that just like musicians, they're not going to let the technology take over their way to write a song. They're not going to let the technology take over their creativity. They're going to use the technology to distribute it so people can listen to their art. And I think as filmmakers, we have yet to get there, because I think we let technology take over a lot of the process. And I think that's not good.
Yeah. I want to circle back later in the show to distribution. I think there's a lot to talk about there, especially where digital is concerned, because I think that's changed. That's probably one of the biggest ways that filmmaking has been impacted, probably. Just my guess there on that one. But let's go back to that process and how you've seen it evolve over time as digital tools have been introduced into it, of pre-production and production of filmmaking.
Well, I think pre-production and production of filmmaking, a lot of time was spent, because before digital came out, it was film. And you only had so much film, because film costs a lot of money. You only had so much film, so you only had so many takes that you can do. So a lot of pre-production was spent on making sure rehearsals were a big thing. You don't get a chance to rehearse a lot anymore because the budgets went down. So producers are really, they're having a hard time getting the money to make films. And so a lot of the time was spent in rehearsals. A lot of the time was spent in the really getting into the process of how this scene is going to work before you even hit, or say, action, before you even roll that camera, because you want to make sure that there's only so much film you have and there's only a certain amount of ratio. You can shoot it at 5:1, 4:1, depending on how many takes that you're going to get because of the film. Whereas now, you're still spending time trying to figure out how the scene's going to work, but you're not limited because there's HD, you know, you're shooting digital, so you could just put roll and have that go, dump the tape, you know, and put it all back in. And it you don't focus on that a lot, so you're more on the go. And that's what I mean about process. And that's great. You can do that. But I think that there's a lot to be said to actually slowing down a little bit and focusing on exactly what the story and what the scene is supposed to be. So I think that's one of the biggest differences in pre-production and production that's happening now. Everything's a lot quicker, as is life. You know, people want information quicker. But that's one of the biggest things that I see. Not that technology ruined anything. It's just the system in which filmmakers work now is a lot quicker than it used to be.
Well, I think you're starting to approach my next question. That is, you know, what is... you know, technology certainly helped in some ways, right? Film's expensive, and sure. Now having an SD card, you can, well, okay, if someone wants to have a meltdown on set, we can just start over and do that again. And maybe diva-like behavior is encouraged more, or there's more room for it now on sets or something. But what about the downside? What has technology hindered in the creative process? Is it what you're talking about, where maybe there's some shortcuts to the meat of the art, or is it something else that's more technical that is hurt by technology?
I think it's just that what you hit on. I think technology is great, but I think we've made it our master instead of our servant. And I think that's the best way that I can approach it. Storytelling is always going to be the same. People are going to approach storytelling the same, but I think with technology, I think people need to embrace technology, but they need to embrace the story as well. And you have to trust the process. And I think you could see that a lot in films now, and especially in independent films, that you could tell where stories are lacking because filmmakers are having a hard time communicating because they don't take the time to really understand why they're making this film, why they're making this piece of art. Why are people going to pay you pay to go see this movie? And that hasn't changed. People always want a reason to pay and you go see the movie. But I think you can tell a lot in stories that the filmmaker really, great concept. It was a great approach. It looked great because technology makes things look great now, and you have a great TP and you can do that. But there's always something that's missing. And I think that something that's missing is that as a filmmaker, when you're passionate about a project and you know exactly why you want to tell a story, it shows up on screen. And I think a lot of that is just trusting the process and really paying attention to what story you're trying to tell. And a lot of the times technology, when you get to move quicker, because you can keep rolling without having to worry about anything, because once it's on the hard drive, if your hard drive fills up, take a half hour, you know, download the footage, and then you have a clean hard drive again, and you can keep going. And I think that's the biggest downside to it.
When you approach a film project, you know, you've described this before as treating each film like a business, which I think is an important thing to do, to treat each thing like a project of its own and its own little business with a beginning, middle, and end. But what about do you think it's easier or harder now as a filmmaker to kind of build on that long-term career trajectory? It seems like it would be much easier because you can put a lot more stuff out.
Yeah.
Because you have to, get less funding in theory to make a film now than you used to. But is there a sense of like fighting all the noise with so many people making films that you think, I mean, do you, or let me back up and say, do you think that's like the biggest obstacle to career building, like long-term strategies, or do you think it's something else that maybe digital is hurting?
You know, I think digital is hurting some of that, but I don't think any of that's changed. I think it's fighting through the noise. And I think the more that you give people to do and the more you throw at them and the more they're going to embrace, they forget why they got into the business in the first place. Hmm. And when you forget why you get into the business in the first place, and I know it's cliche, you don't make the same art. Would you be willing to make a movie knowing that you would never get paid for it just because it's something that you want to do?
Oh, I've done that dozens of times.
Yeah, I mean, I have.
Sure, I continue to do so.
And the wallet's showing a little bit.
Sure.
You know, but because a musician, they're always going to play music. And I think as an artist, you have to ask yourself, if you're a writer, you never got published, are you going to not write anymore? If you're an artist, your paintings haven't never been on auction, they've never been sold, are you still going to continue to paint? Filmmaking's a little different because filmmaking, there's a big process to be able to tell a story and just to get money to get the people to come help you out. But are you willing to still make a movie for no money because you love doing it and you have to tell that story? So I think when all of these things are hitting you all at once with technology and with the ways you can do things, the noise gets in your head that you forget about the actual process. And, you know, Hollywood's looking, even independent studios are looking, because I think once you, the filmmaker needs to embrace the technology because, and they have to have a clearly defined brand for themselves. They need to be clearly defined on why they're doing what they're doing, because that's going to show in their work.
Yeah, which is like a whole issue. We got to go to break, but that's a whole other issue, I think, that opens up, which is an age-old debate about making the art you want to make versus making something you know will land with an audience. And that becomes like a really strange cycle for creators. And I feel like I've had that conversation with so many creative people here on this station that not going to be something we'll solve tonight, but nonetheless, that circle continues to exist. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, more of this. We're talking all about independent film tonight here on 720 WGN. I love that song. I just want to let that one play out a minute. It's such a good one. It's Amy Guth, and this is a Saturday Night Special. We're talking all about independent film tonight. It's a topic we talk about a lot. We always talk about the arts here and there on this program. And as ever, it's never just about, hey, let's watch this movie. Let's do this thing. Let's talk to this person who did this movie. No. There's always so many issues and so many interesting paths to take in these topics that we start to unpack here on this program. So that's when we bring in someone who is an expert. So we have with us tonight as a guest co-host, Rocco Cataldo is here. He's an Emmy award-winning director and founder and principal at Potenza Productions here in Chicago. And we've been talking all about filmmaking. And in particular, it seems like we've really hit on how much digital has changed the filmmaking process in the couple of decades that you've been doing this, and how interesting that is. I think that's very fascinating. I love to talk with creative people about digital impacts because I think we first really saw that hitting the music industry and then publishing and then film. And I think it's really fascinating to watch how it never hits everybody at once. It goes into different areas of creativity differently. And so it's cool to see how film and TV are adapting to that, and filmmakers in particular. What I'm always curious about, though, in particular with any kind of creative endeavor, is when people talk about filmmaking or independent filmmaking in particular, what do you think, given your expertise, what do you think is generally missing from that conversation? Or what do people often overlook or maybe not know about independent filmmaking that you just wish that they did?
Great question. I think the issues that we don't talk about is a little bit going back to a little bit of what I was talking about before about respecting the process and letting technology assist instead of letting it be your master. And I think that those are the things that we forget about, because you need to put in time to tell a great story. You need to put in time to like really ask yourself why you're telling this story. And I think with money, before people used to get development money to be able to develop a story before even getting into production. You don't get that anymore because mm-hmm. A lot of producers get frustrated with that because, you know, seeking money, the people aren't given a lot of money. There's no development money. And I think a lot of people rush into production. And again, I'm guilty as this, in the past, just as anybody else. But you're rushing into production without really developing the story. And I think that's the other thing that affects filmmakers. And I think all filmmakers should take pride in the story that they're going to tell, because it is a lot of work and it is years off of your life. So you really want to make sure that it's a story that you want to tell. So if you're going to go out and do it and you're going to spend 2 years, really,
if it's a narrative, if it's 2 years, if it's a narrative, you've got the script already done.
Yeah.
If you're doing like documentary, and I'm speaking from experience here, if you're doing documentary, you have to follow your story, and that can take much longer.
Documentaries especially, and I respect that process because you have so much footage that you have to go through, and just the story's changing. That's just years and years of being able to work on something that you deeply care about, and that's why you have to know why you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And especially a narrative and anything. And I think those are a lot of the questions that people don't ask. So before I even do a project, even if it's for branding, even if it's some commercial work, I really have to ask myself, what's the next step for me? How is this going to help me? Is it a project that I really want to do? Is it something that I'm there helping people, trying to do some good? A lot of the branding stuff, we did a lot of, you know, pharmaceutical ads here and there that we got to be creative on, but it was helping the patient, and that storyline helped the patient talk to other patients. So that, you know, you always have to ask yourself those questions, because if you don't know why you're doing something, then it's going to show not only in your work, but also just on your physical person, because this industry
is going to wear you out.
It's great. It's a great industry, but
what about for consumers of independent film? What do you think is missing from that conversation, or maybe misunderstood about independent film from the audience perspective?
I think that people don't give the audience enough credit, especially women and older. The older age group. A film that I had, Wednesday's Child, did its festival runs. And I never knew that there was this many people that loved short film. They go out to film festivals. They have no reason to meet other filmmakers other than to just go out and see films.
Non-filmmakers, you mean?
Non-filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Non-filmmakers going out, husband and wife, boyfriend, whatever, going out, checking out a film. And one of the best Q&As that I've ever had, we were at this film festival in South Haven, Michigan. And there, with Wednesday's Child, there was a story about a 9-year-old girl. It's a dark comedy about a 9-year-old girl who never really meant to kill her parents.
So, I mean, things happen
sometimes.
Things
happen, you know. We all kill our parents at some point, right?
Who hasn't been there?
But it was just fascinating that it was a half-hour Q&A, the longest I've ever had. And I don't, every, it was all women that were in there. And they asked, intelligent questions, but they just really had such a great conversation, wanting to know about the process, wanting to know about that little girl, wanting to know about the story. And even as they're watching online, I get a lot of responses from that from an older audience. And I think we seem to forget that, you know, there, other than, you know, the 18 to 25 year olds, there's really a market. And especially that's where technology helps, because you could really focus in on the market that you want, on those niche markets. And I really do feel like the older audience really embrace film. That I don't think a lot of people give credit to.
Interesting. Coming up after news, on the other side of news, we're going to talk with producer, writer, and director, and editor. It seems like that's another thing. Lots of hats being worn by people in the film industry. We're going to talk with Avril Speaks about her work and some of her projects, and we're going to talk to her. That's coming up after the 8 o'clock news. But I think you've hit on something really interesting, and I want to talk a little bit later in the show about about distribution and about how we get our work in front of people, no matter what kind of creative work it is. Recently in the news, we saw Spielberg, like, he's very angry about Netflix and Hulu and all. Like, he's very, very angry. I mean, he's really hanging on very tightly to, no, this is the model I know, and therefore people need to go to a movie theater and watch a movie, and then in a year it will come out on video, and I don't want that challenge. And he seems like very, very upset about it. And it reminds me when this conversation was happening in the music industry, when Napster hit, when all of that was happening and everybody was kind of scrambling, some musicians said, okay, I'm not going to make as much money on my music, but I'm going to tour. I'm just going to tweak the business model. Metallica just started suing everybody. And they're like, nope, we're not going to change. We're not going to do anything different. We're going to stay with this business model. Now I think that conversation is a little bit different, but it does remind me of a very Metallica-esque move from Spielberg to just be like, no, we have to just stay on the way it's always been done. And I get that. I mean, having worked at a newspaper for a long time, I get that, you know, when suddenly we had to make the paper smaller and thinner and fewer pages and put more things online than in print. I get that.
But he did E.T., didn't he? Like, you're talking about Mr. Technology.
Exactly.
E.T.,
right.
E.T., Jaws, AI.
Right.
Like,
roll with it, guy. Yeah, open up. So it just seems like the people who cling to the old way of doing things forever and say it's never going to evolve, that doesn't always work out, because audience behavior changes and you kind of have to embrace that. So lots of topics here as we start unpacking something that seems straightforward. But we're going to take a little break and then go to news and all that good stuff. Back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. Hey there, it's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special, and we're talking about independent film in Chicago, so how can we not play that song when we're talking about films that make us think of Chicago for that iconic scene in Risky Business, sliding out with the socks in front of the stairs, of course.
Really? You like that?
Yes, good one. Nicely done. So, independent film tonight. So we are talking all about many aspects of it. We're talking about challenges. We're talking about gifts and challenges from the digital disruption of film. We're talking about lots and lots of stuff. We are joined tonight by special guest co-host Rocco Cataldo is here. He's founder and principal at Potenza Productions and is an Emmy award-winning director himself. And now we're joined by phone by... There's a lot going on in this bio, so I got to summarize here, but I'm going to tweet this out after, because our next guest, Avril Speaks, is a producer, a writer, director, and editor. She was associate producer on the TNT docuseries American Race, and is the lead producer on the feature film Gin, which premiered at South by Southwest last year and won special jury recognition for writing. That's just the first two sentences of this bio, so let's get this person on the phone right now. Avril, hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hi.
Hi, Avril.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Gladly. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a couple hours earlier on the West Coast. Appreciate you checking in with us around dinner time. let's start by tell us a bit about the film Gin that you've more recently worked on.
Yeah, so Gin is a coming-of-age story. It's a story about a teenage girl and how her life changes when her mother converts to Islam. And so it's an interesting story. It's about a teenager trying to discover her own identity and just find her place in the world. And her mom kind of introduces this new thing into the mix. And it's all about how she, you know, struggles to identify with that.
And as far as your process and or approach as a producer, and again, you wear a lot of hats, so you do a lot of things, and I'm sure that contributes to your approach as a producer. But kind of what is your general philosophy when you go into a project as a producer? We've been talking a lot about the role of digital and how the film industry has changed just in the last couple of years. We've been talking about that so far on the program. But what is your approach like when you begin a project?
Yeah, I mean, I always look at story, because I have a background in writing and directing. I think my approach to any project that I work on is always story first. And, what is the story? Is this I tend to be really drawn toward human stories, the stories that, and that may sound kind of cliche, but I mean, it does kind of put me in that zone of like, one of those stories that are just really human and really nuanced. I always look for those stories that, you know, that we haven't seen, like have a perspective that we haven't seen before. And so I'm always looking for those kinds of things. And, you know, I usually approach it like, you know, just figuring out what is the director's angle, because I feel like every director has an angle or, a specific point of view and an entryway into the story. And so I try to really be supportive of the director and of that original voice and that original inspiration for the story itself. So I kind of start there and then, just kind of move from there and finding the right platform for it. I mean, you're talking about, you know, digital platforms and how that's changed the game. You know, that becomes a big part of my process, is figuring out that part of the landscape. Is like, you know, as a producer, it's always like, can this sell? Will this sell? And where will it sell? You know, and so even just looking at kind of all these different platforms that we have available and kind of what is the right piece, where does this fit in that whole landscape? So it can be a challenge to try to figure that out. But I guess I would say that would be my process and kind of my starting point.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and I'm glad to hear it, because I feel like so much lately when we're talking about film, there seems to be this like this decline of original idea. There's so many sequels, mm-hmm. and so many of them are so cool and they're great, and there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with a sequel or a remake, but it seems like it's like, wait, did all of the entire canon of work from the 80s just get redone? Like, what just happened here? And so I think that focus on that original storytelling is so important. And I keep hoping we're entering like a new era, like a renaissance of original storytelling after all these remakes and sequels.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I agree with you. It's kind of sad in a sense that, you know, so much, particularly in the studio system, a lot of it is centered around remakes and reboots and, you know, sequels. And, you know, it's all things that we kind of know the storyline. You know, I see independent filmmaking is kind of where we see a lot of these really original stories happening. And, I think we've seen some real gems come out. I would love to see more, you know. I feel like, you know, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and I just remember when, you know, there were, you know, you had kind of that boom of independent filmmakers coming out who were like making really bold choices and really bold films, and it was a really exciting time. And, you know, I kind of want to get back to that era where independent film is thriving. And I just hope that there would be more support for those original stories.
Yeah. What about specific challenges that you've encountered as a producer, or maybe specific challenges you see facing the independent film community right now, and kind of where you see the way out or the way around them?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I see one of the biggest challenges is support. And I mean, that comes from a number of different arenas. Like, you know, it's a challenge to find support to finance those independent films, because everybody has their eyes so much on the remakes and the, you know, the films that they know can make money, that it can be difficult to find support in the way of financing. So that's a challenge. And then I'll also say, you know, even on the other side of the coin, it's a challenge for support in terms of distribution and getting those films out, you know, so you could, you know, find the means to make the film, but then getting that film out and into the world and onto a platform where people can see it is a challenge. And then if you even take that a step further and talk about the challenge of getting the audience to see it, which is kind of a marketing thing, but, you know, I think it also has to do somewhat with audience appetite. And I think, you know, letting people know that these films are out there, that they do have another choice of films to watch other than, you know, just the latest blockbuster or the latest sequel, you know, because people don't always know that they have that choice. So we really need that support in terms of marketing dollars to get the word out about these great films that exist, that are original stories and that, you know, are just really unique and heartfelt. And so I think sometimes the appetite for, you know, for something new, I think people are so used to seeing the same thing over and over again, that sometimes it's a little difficult for them, for independent films to kind of break through the noise and find those audiences that would really like the type of content that independent filmmakers are trying to make. So, yeah, I would definitely say that is a challenge for independent filmmakers. You know, and as far as, you know, how to combat those challenges, you know, I've been, you know, really sort of wrestling with that question myself as a producer, and thinking kind of what are our alternatives? What are some alternative methods for independence in terms of, you know, how do we kind of flip this model on its head, or even just how do we kind of take what we know about how the model of distribution works and kind of put ourselves in a position to take more ownership of it. You know, I've even been, you know, our film went to South by Southwest, as you mentioned, and, you know, just in talking with some other filmmakers and other producers, our film was distributed, you know, kind of traditionally. Our film was picked up by MGM, Orion Classics, but, like, you know, I've talked to some filmmakers who are saying, you know, we're going to distribute this film ourselves, you know, and we're going to take that model. We're going to call the theaters. We're going to, you know, and yeah, you know, I think that now kind of with social media, the tools for people to be able to do that are a little bit more accessible. And it may not be for everyone, but, you know, just kind of looking at that as an option. This is just, I think, you know, in terms of coming against those challenges, I think it's just being open to what some of the alternative methods might be that, you know, give us, as independent filmmakers, give us a little bit more control and a little bit more exposure that we've been wanting to see. So
Avril, with that, you have the money. You're sitting in a room with a director. She or he's about ready. You're the day before you're going to shoot, and you're there. You got the money, regardless of what the budget is. You have everything, and it's a go. What would you say? What would kind of be your pep talk to that director that you're sitting in front of right before you're going to embark on this adventure? Like with your experience, even being a director yourself, a writer, going through this process with Jin, what would be the one advice? Say, me and you were sitting in a room getting ready to do a movie, knowing what it is that you know. What would be the pep talk before we like, all right, break team, let's go?
I would say, well, it's showtime. You're on now. You're on. You know, I think my you know, pep talk and my piece of advice would just be, don't let all the you know, the thing with, like, film sets, they get so, like, technical and frenetic, especially with independent films, because we're usually running on such a time clock. Like, everything is like, we got to get this now. Like, everything is so, you know, urgent, you know, and I just want to encourage directors to stay true to their vision. Remember why we're all here. Like, we're all here because of this great script that you've written, and you have to stay true to that, no matter what the cost. And I mean, you know, there are people like me and the AD who are going to be on set to try to, you know, balance that out in terms of the time that we have and, you know, whatever, but, like, you know, the director has to hold on to that vision, because at the end of the day, you know, they're going to be the ones, you know, kind of left with that footage, you know what I mean? And sure, sitting in that editing room and trying to put the pieces together. So I would say, you know, hold tight to that vision and, you know, stay focused. Stay focused, because, like I said, it can be really easy to get so involved in the technical stuff and, you know, what's going to happen. But when you get ready to go into production, it's showtime, and, you know, we got to put everything else aside. And yeah, you think about the technical stuff, you know, as necessary or whatever, but, you know, we got a story to tell. And I think that's the key there, is there's a story to be told. It's not just that we have pages to shoot. We have a story to tell.
Yeah, that's great. Indeed. You're also a contributing writer to DearProducer.com, which is one of my daily reads. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that site a lot. There's, you know,
so great.
For those listening who may not know about that site, it's really kind of showing you behind the scenes of a lot of insight of a lot of producers that have been there and done that. And you can really get a wonderfully different, an array of perspectives on directing and producing different kinds of work, making your producer happy when you're working with a producer, and all that kind of thing. What I wonder is, for someone who's not in the film industry, someone just like in the audience who's thinking, I do want independent film to thrive. I do recognize that the model is changing and I want to support independent filmmakers. From your point of view, because I know you've studied this a lot academically as well. From your point of view, what is the number one thing that consumers can be doing right now to support and grow independent film and independent filmmakers?
Watch them.
Easy enough.
I mean, really, it's like everything in this business is driven by dollars, and we need that. It's like any time, a lot of times when I walk into meetings or what have you with, I have this script that's an original script that, is an independent filmmaker or what have you. They want to know, is anybody going to go see this movie? And so if I have to have, films that are comparable to that film, but I have to be able to prove that audiences actually will go see this type of movie. And, kind of like what I was saying before, with those challenges, some of that comes back to audience. And, we need people to go and support these films and, go on sites like Dear Producer, go on sites like, Film Independent or whatever your local organization is in Chicago and go to those independent theater houses. Like when you're on Fandango and you look up what's playing at the AMC, what's playing at the, whatever, also look at those independent cinemas as well and those independent theaters and see what's playing and go support those films. A lot of times, I happen to love independent film. Like that is my heartbeat. Like I feel like those are the films that inspired me the most. Those are the films that I get really excited about. And there are some films that just really fall under the radar because I'll go to a theater to go see it and it's me and two other people sitting there. And it's a two-edged sword because a lot of times it's because people don't know that the film is out. But I would just encourage, someone who is not in the film business, that's some place you can start is, go in your neighborhood. There's got to be some type of art house cinema. Just check it out. You just never know what kind of gems you'll find in there.
Yeah.
Check it out. Go see it. Go see it with your friends. Tell your friends. Spread the word. Get on social media. Tell people about it. That's what's going to help grow the independent film community and grow our audience. Is if people go and see it.
Yeah, it seems like some very smart and enterprising person needs to build out, there's a stopgap there of needing some kind of discovery tool, especially as people are distributing like right to video on demand or doing that hybrid model of distribution in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool because it forces a lot of creativity from the person who's self-distributing or a small team that's distributing. But I think somebody could, there's some tool missing. Someone needs there, free idea, everybody. Someone take that and run with it. Somebody make that discovery, that kind of discovery tool, because sometimes it doesn't make it to the theater. Sometimes it's just kind of sitting online somewhere. You got to find that. So those are where I'm going to make a to-do list.
Yep.
That's going to be the first thing on it. Sounds good. All right. We've been talking with Avril Speaks. You can find out more about the film at JinnFilm.com. And of course, you can find out about Avril at AZUSpeak.com. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, Avril. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you,
Avril. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a little break and go to news, all the good stuff, back in just a bit here on 720 WGN. Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me. 720 WGN. It's Amy Guth here on the Saturday Night Special. Had to stop and sing along to that one for a second. I spared you by not turning on my microphone yet, because nobody wants to hear me singing along to this song. However, it's a Saturday Night Special, and we're talking, as ever, about one big topic all evening, and that topic is independent films and independent filmmaking, especially right here in Chicago. So, of course, we're going to play a song from a John Hughes movie. Of course, that great scene in The Breakfast Club. That's a great movie.
Amazing. That still gets the blood pumping.
I know. That's a great. It's a good one. It's a good one. Well, we have a co-host, as you might have just heard. We have a co-host tonight. That's Rocco Cataldo. He's founder and principal at Potenza Productions, and he's also an Emmy-winning director. He's here tonight with us talking about this topic, about independent filmmaking. We were just talking just a little bit ago with Avril Speaks, who is a woman that wears many, many hats. She's a producer, a writer, director, editor. She's done lots of cool stuff. We'll be sure and tweet out her website and all that. If you're following me on Twitter, I just tweeted out something where you can find that film, Jen film that we were talking about. But Avril raised a lot of interesting points. I thought, like, we've been, we've been talking about a lot of different aspects of independent filmmaking and independent films tonight. And she really zeroed in on how the distribution model is changing. And I think that's such a big part of it. You know, earlier in the program, we were talking really about how digital has changed pre-production and production and in a bigger way, you know, like your persona and your brand as a director and all of that kind of thing. But once the film's made, it's ready to go. Distribution seems like an area where there's been a lot of change in recent years. And every time it seems like everybody's up on things, there's a new tool and there's a new platform or something like that that's happening. You know, where have you seen the biggest changes in distribution with those digital tools?
Online is commonplace, right? That's where all films are going. That's where all films get distributed. You have easy access. You have things like YouTube or even Vimeo that have like the pro channels that you can distribute your film, your own website, you know, your demo reels that you have up on your website where you can showcase films, iTunes.
Let me ask you this. Yes. Where do you stand on when people make social media accounts for a project?
That's true.
I kind of hate it. I'm not going to lie. I kind of hate it because here's the thing. If you say, hey, follow me on social media, you're saying I'm going to give you value. Let's consent to get each other's content.
Completely agree.
And if like a book or a film follows me, I'm like, I appreciate what you're doing, but I would rather follow you, the director, or you, the production company, than like your film, because that film, once I watch it, I've learned from it.
Exactly.
Then I don't need anything else from it. So if you're asking me to like follow it on Facebook, you're saying make a lifetime commitment to get content from me about this film that once you watch, you're going to be done with. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. And I'm glad that you brought that up. I didn't want to be like an old curmudgeon here.
No, but I think it's a thing. It's a problem.
It's a thing. It is a problem. It's some, you know, it's those things, those little things that annoy me. I mean, it's great. You're putting it out there. But once the film is done, there's no shelf life after that. Like, what are we going to follow? To your point, like, what are you going to give me now on social media? See, I might as well follow the filmmakers behind it.
Yeah, I'd rather follow a filmmaker for the long term, or even their production company or something like that, to get to learn about their work. Like, oh, I like this filmmaker. I'm going to learn about their work, and I'd love to see their next thing. And it's the social part of social media that makes it work.
Yeah.
So to me, I think that's tricky. Anyway, I threw you off track.
No.
So you were making a good point about online distribution platforms and all that. So it seems like more and more filmmakers are claiming a lot bigger creative control because of this. I think this has been a gift to a lot of filmmakers. I think it's still overwhelming to a lot of filmmakers because, as the same thing that happened with a lot of other creative industries, especially publishing, it's no longer, here's my manuscript or here I filed my story. You got to kind of deliver the paper too.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have that brand and you have to do that thing. And it seems like that has the disruption has hit, and it required filmmakers to also be business people in a way that it wasn't required before. Do you feel like, you know, watching it from the outside or from the inside out for the last couple of decades, do you feel like a lot of filmmakers have struggled with taking that business ownership, or is this kind of a welcome thing, or kind of both?
I think it's kind of both, but definitely I don't think it's welcome, because at the end of the day, you want to be a filmmaker, you want to be an artist, and you want to get it out there. And the business side of it is a full-time job in and of itself. But I think to Avril's point before, when she was talking about trying to find a place where you can try to flip the script and figure mm-hmm. out how else you can distribute. I think that's key for filmmakers and really thinking outside the box, because at the end of the day, just the world has changed, and our industry, just like any other industry, with technology and with the way just the workforce is going, you're going to have to take on a lot on your own, and at least, you know, work with people that are better than you and understand the business side of it more. But I think we're going to get back to the way the world, I don't know if this is a prediction, but I think vaudeville is coming back soon.
How do you mean?
I think that with technology and with the ability for filmmakers and creatives to take their work out, mm-hmm. Because it's a lot easier now to, you know, get on social media. Hey, we're going to be at this place. We're going to be at that place. I think theaters matter. Mm-hmm. I think movie cinemas, people still go to the cinemas. It's kind of like vinyl. Just because now you can listen to something on Spotify doesn't mean that you don't get that same satisfaction from vinyl, and vinyl never went away.
Looking at you, Steven Spielberg.
It never died.
Looking at you.
Vinyl never died.
Chill.
Yeah. Vinyl never died, and I think it's the same thing.
In fact, it almost made it made people, having the ability to stream music suddenly made people kind of crave this tactile thing.
Yes.
Again, we saw this in other creative arenas. We saw in publishing how everything would go to Kindle.
Yeah.
There might be a paperback release, but then there'd be this like beautifully gold embossed, only 1,000 copies of this limited edition, beautiful version of this book.
Yep.
We saw like a limited release vinyl when everything was being streamed. Like, I think that's very true. I think people still do want that kind of tactile thing.
They do, because it's a different experience when you're at a movie theater and you're watching a film with somebody. It's just having that, the music and having the surround sound, watching it in the dark with other people and seeing where other people react. You're not going to get anything better than that.
But you think there'll be a resurgence of that somehow? It'll come back differently.
I think it'll come back differently, because I think now you do it like vaudeville. You could show the film and then have a performance of some sort. Like, you could create your own little concerts and your own little venues, and especially you can brand now with social media and you have followers. You can say, hey, we're going to be at these towns, and you can hit the niche market that you want to. So you can go to college towns that wouldn't necessarily get the premiere of a film. And people should take advantage of that. And I think the more you look back at history, and the more you look back when people didn't have anything, how did they get out there? Well, now that we do have everything, it's still difficult to get out there, because you got to kind of weed through the masses. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going back in time. And I don't know if this is a prediction. It's something that I'm trying. I really think it's going to get back to the old vaudeville days, where you take the show to the people and to the audience that you want, and go cross country and do it almost like concerts.
So like going on a book tour.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really interesting idea.
Going on a book tour and doing it yourself, meeting people and giving that value that you were mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. of, you know, sharing a conversation with somebody that was interested in the book that you wrote, or the film, or why did you do this? And I just think that there's a lot to be said about that. Now, you're going to need money to be able to go on the road.
Then you're going to have to fund that.
Yeah, but that's where the creativity comes in. And as filmmakers, I think we can get creative and find a way to do it and help each other.
Well, and that kind of was where I was going with that initial question about the hybrid distribution model and how it's allowing filmmakers a lot more creative control. I think it's difficult to say, okay, you also have to be a business person and do all this PR and do all this other stuff and wear all these other hats yourselves. But also, it seems like it's starting to spark a lot of interesting creativity just out of necessity.
Yeah.
So I wonder, with what you just said about your prediction that perhaps it'll be more of a book tour vaudeville kind of model for filmmakers, and I have a vested interest in this question, because I also work at a film festival, at the Midwest Independent Film Festival. Do you think the role of film festivals will shift? Because I think people for a long time didn't feel like a film festival was, I'm going to do radio air quotes, distribution, but it seems like it is, because it doesn't take much to start generating a buzz. Like, people email me about it in that role all the time and say, hey, you should watch this film. It's doing really great at festivals. And that's an endorsement of, hey, that's telling me there's buzz about this film. I should definitely watch it and see if it's a good fit for this festival as I'm programming it. So do you see the role of the film festival changing to if your vaudeville prediction is, mm-hmm. is happening, which I think is a very good prediction, do you think the film festivals will begin to morph to answer to that?
Absolutely, because they're going to be like the radio stations, right? And I always compare everything to music. They're going to be the station where you're going to promote this piece of mm-hmm. art that you've done and have like-minded people there, and even people that come to the film festival that aren't necessarily filmmakers, but they just, you know, love movies. I think they're going to play a really bigger role in marketing that they before there was just, you know, hey, or can you buy my film, or you did it to try to get another movie done mm-hmm. or try to get like your movie. I think this is going to be mainly just marketing. I think film festivals are going to get to that just marketing aspect, giving people more the ability to invite an audience to watch their film and then move on.
Yeah.
And I stick to the musicians because I think as filmmakers, even as a director, I would love to even, you know, work with another director and help each other get our films out there. Kind of musicians do, you know, you have a lot of musicians.
You tour that, together. Like you, tour you open together. For that guy.
You're on their track.
Yeah.
Right. And I think there's something so wonderful about that. And I think filmmakers lose that because we're all, you know, justifiably so, we're all looking to make a little bit of money to make our own film, right? Mm-hmm. To get that funding. So it's a little bit more difficult. But I think since the world is just kind of, the technology is not going to stop, I think the more we consider ourselves like the musicians and helping each other out as artists that way, I just think the world is our oyster. There's a lot of creative things that we can do out there, and I think you know, that's the way to go. So I think as filmmakers, as Avril said before, not only the audience needs to help each other just go watch the movie so we can get out there, but I think as filmmakers, storytellers, we should all kind of hop on each other's stories and help each other get to where we need to be.
You just invented about 7 things just now.
And I didn't trademark them for the world. Yeah.
Free ideas here at the end of the show, the end of Saturday Night Special, full of free ideas. We have a guest co-host tonight. That is Rocco Cataldo, you've been hearing from. He's an Emmy Award-winning director and founder and principal at Potenza Productions. We're going to take a quick break, back for more fun here on 720 WGN. I know. WGN. It's Amy Guth here wrapping up the Saturday Night Special this evening. All the hits tonight coming from esteemed producer Vivian Leneux. All these musical hits. Thank you. They've been awesome.
This music,
you got it.
Awesome.
It's like all the good soundtrack hits is what we're doing. We have a special guest co-host tonight. Rocco Cataldo has been hanging out with us. He is an Emmy Award-winning director and founder and principal at Potenza Productions based here in Chicago. And we've been talking about a lot of stuff because that's what we do here on this show. We pick one topic that seems real straightforward. Tonight, that topic, independent film. Seems easy. Go to an art house. Just watch video on demand. Go to Vimeo on demand. It's easy. Oh, no. There are so many topics. There's so many pieces and paths leading in and out of this topic. So right before the break, Rocco, we were talking about the changing role of distribution, or how distribution will change, at least how you hope it will change and predict it might change. And we started talking a little bit about film festivals. And as I said, I have a vested interest in that because I also work at the Midwest Independent Film Festival. But, you know, I think that warrants a little bit of conversation, too, because, and I know we have just minutes here, but for a long time, the classic thing was go to film festivals to get a little bit of buzz, but also hopefully to get distribution, get someone to buy your film and agree to distribute it. Where do you see that changing too? As the film festival, you know, we were talking a little bit about how more filmmakers are taking more creative ownership of their work and distributing it themselves. You have a cool prediction about maybe it's going to go more like a book tour, vaudeville kind of do-it-yourself tour. How will that change in terms of the purpose of going to a film festival?
You know, I think the purpose of going to a film festival is just going to be highlighted a lot more now for marketing. And I think it's important to take. I mean, how cool is it if you're a filmmaker, you have your short, you go to the Midwest Independent Film Festival, and for the first time you get to watch it with an audience on the big screen? You can't pay for that. So I think before the it was always like, hey, you know, we're going to use it for marketing, but it was to get that other thing. Mm-hmm. Now I think the film festivals are going to be that other thing. It's a way for when you go to the Midwest Indie, that's going to be a day you get to meet filmmakers. That's what you're going to do. But forget about getting signed. If it happens, great. If all of a sudden, you know, you have somebody out there that can sign you, of course, nobody's going to turn that down. But it's about here we are at the Midwest Independent Film Festival, then here we are at this film festival. And using it to really showcase your film so you as a filmmaker can learn the business side of it. What worked with the audience, what didn't? How was your Q&A? What are things that you missed? So you get to learn on the job while doing, the same way a musician or even a comedian for that matter. Like, you know, you're always going to try your jokes out of different things before you make an album. I think as filmmakers, that's the way we could utilize the film festivals by talking about the film, by experiencing it with other people to give you an idea of how to get better. Because maybe if I had a great showing at the Midwest Indy, that just gave me an idea when I do the book tour that, hey, I'm going to hit this college town and the audience is the same. I'm going to do this a little bit bigger. So I think using it more as a learning tool for your own business and for your own marketing.
Yeah. And having, it seems like you'd have to go in with a mindset of having more ownership of your business, the film,
ownership, yes,
than, gosh, I hope they pick me.
Exactly.
You know, it seems like you have to make that shift for yourself as an artist.
Exactly.
So my favorite question is, we're winding down the clock. We got about a minute left. I love to ask creative people about advice they would give themselves. If you could go back to yourself starting out as a filmmaker,
yes,
what advice would you give to yourself as a young filmmaker?
I would say, Rocco, it's all about what you do when you're not busy that's going to make you successful and keep you successful when you are busy. So it's about those moments when you have nothing to do, because as an artist, when it can look dark for a long time, but you got to keep getting creative. If you're a filmmaker, you have to keep telling stories. You have to be just researching however your creative process is. You have to treat it like a job and keep it your creative process. Then when you're busy, you don't have time to think about it, then that's great. You're busy, you're working, you're on set, you're doing your stuff. But it really is all about when you're not busy and how you occupy your time. That's going to ultimately determine how successful you're going to be when you're actually working and doing your thing. Because I think that's the filmmakers just get really down, like, oh, I have nothing going on. You got to treat it like a job. As hard as it is, you got to be a storyteller 8 hours a day and do your thing. Because it's those times when you're not busy that are really going to determine how successful or how you can keep success once you get.
Yeah. So it seems like it's about habit building, but it's also like keeping your craft sharp, your skills sharp.
Exactly.
And keeping yourself motivated.
Exactly.
Seems like a lot of common themes every time I ask a creative person that question. Well, thank you very much for co-hosting tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
For those of you who tuned in late, this will be available at WGNradio.com. And if you follow me on social media, I'll be sure and tweet it out. Thank you again to producer Vivian Linnea. We're going to be running. We're going to go to break. Then we're going to go to news. And then we're going to turn things over to Dave Hoekstra back in just a bit here on 720 WGN.